This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Elijah Moore is here. He's a guy we've spoken to a few times leading up to the draft, and we just kind of put a pin in it, just like we did several other positions, and said, let's wait till the draft and see where we're at, see if he's still interested. If we took a guy in the first or second round, he's probably not too interested, but we didn't, and so we picked up those conversations over the weekend. He and his wife came up today and visited, and so we'll see. Nothing imminent today, anything like that, but a very good visit, and we'll see where that goes.
Bills GM Brandon Bean on Elijah Moore, which is an idea that I think we both like. Second-round pick. Let me read you what Matt Harmon wrote about Elijah Moore. It's a couple years ago, but gives you an idea of the skill set. First off, he's a little bit like Curtis Samuel in that Matt Harmon has, of receptionperception.com, his long one saying, I like this player a lot, he just needs a good opportunity. Mm-hmm. And for Moore, second-round pick of the Jets, onto the Browns after that, and when he went to the Browns, Deshaun Watson's going to be the quarterback, and he says they needed more juice in this group, and Moore is the guy to deliver. He can operate as the team's vertical slot in 11 or line up as the flanker in two receiver sets. While Cooper takes reps at the X, Moore has ample opportunity to shine and command targets. Success rate against man coverage is good. Intermediate area of the field, good. That's where the Bills like to throw the ball, right?
Yep.
He talked about how he's a good fit for Deshaun Watson, who thrived pushing the ball downfield in his Houston days. His ability to work underneath as a separator could provide Cleveland with an explosive layup target that they don't have. Browns offense positioned to be top flight passing unit if their quarterback can rebound. But anyway, the Moore profile sounds like a good idea. And we'll see if that lands. I think he would slot in immediately with he battles Tyrell Shavers.
He's battling for the fifth spot on the depth chart, but he's also battling for, again, this is kind of part of, you know, the genesis of yesterday, I guess, is a desire to see them add a type of receiver like that. That's been my thing all offseason, is I need a type. I need a guy that can play on the outside. And for him, his ability to move into the slot and outside, that's valuable. But it's the speed, 96th percentile for his 40-yard dash at the combine.
All right. That's how many years ago? It's 6-7 years ago. But
no,
still,
it's 4. Okay. 4 or 5. That's that first draft class where it became, all right, they need another guy. He wasn't my guy, though. Rondell Moore was my guy. I think Elijah Moore's turned into a little bit better of a pro.
Yep.
And definitely a more versatile receiver. Rondell Moore does like one thing. Elijah Moore, though, last year, he was not efficient, right? At all. Like over 100 targets. 61 catches, like that's not really that great. If you dive into his numbers a little bit more, though, he was only 53% of his targets were catchable.
Yikes.
Half his targets weren't even catchable.
Yep.
So, and that's not really that hard to figure out. They had terrible quarterbacks last year in Cleveland. So, I'm not saying he's a great player, but yeah, I would be interested to see if he could do more with a better quarterback. He is definitely one of these guys where if you wanted to say, well, he could be different with Josh Allen, I feel like he could actually be different with Josh Allen.
Bills have him in for a visit. The guys are talking receiver again. Got him in. Tell me.
He's here probably right
now. Tell me somebody else is in. We'll talk about that. 803-0550. Got full phone lines to chat with you. And one thing I just want to say about this whole team build, I don't want to continue to assume that McDermott and Bean are in lockstep in everything they do. It's one thing that Bean explained to everybody right before the draft, that it's not my pick, it's the Buffalo Bills pick. And we have disagreements along the way. And the Bills had, obviously, a number of players come in for top 30 visits. They chose a lot of those players. So here's something to look at. They chose a lot of the guys they brought in for visits or they had extensive background on. And one position that they brought in the most visits, they didn't get any. I almost wonder if they feel whatever, not like really mad. They'll find other answers. But they went in thinking they were going to get one earlier and get one of the guys they visited, and they just kind of got sniped every time, which, you know, that happens. 803-0550. But McDermott, I think a lot of Bills fans treat it as though McDermott would like them to become, I said Navy last week, but aren't we saying Army is the, which is the offense that goes?
Navy.
It used to be Navy.
Sorry, that doesn't throw the ball at all?
Yeah. It used to be Navy.
Georgia Tech.
Okay, fine.
They definitely don't throw the ball.
I think they both do it, though. Right, like now? Triple option? Army and Navy?
But do it like four times or do it like a normal team?
Well, let me use this one. I think there are Bills fans that treat McDermott as if he's Bill Belichick in the Hurricane game. He'd like to win with three passing attempts. And I don't think that's true at all. I think McDermott knows what's good to have on offense, and he, at the end of the season, talked about it. So my guess is, when they're down there talking about, all right, who do we add post-draft, my guess is McDermott is leading the charge for adding another piece where they didn't get a piece. We'll get your phone calls, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Bean also did say, by the way, when talking about his defensive line and the picks on the defensive line,
yeah,
you're allowed to pass on first down. In fact, it's advantageous to do it, right? Something to that effect.
He did. I'd like to hear that.
He did talk. Your defense needs to be able to rush the passer on first down because teams throw on first down, and it's beneficial to pass on first down, which we'd all say, like, yeah.
That's what's so interesting is their defense forever has been built to as though they – what do they value? They value even that comment. They know how valuable throwing the football is.
Yep.
And that's how they build their defense. They kind of build it, even this draft a little bit, right? Like, the two defensive tackles they drafted, neither are being applauded for, like, this elite run-stopping ability. They are interior defensive linemen, so they're going to be that a little bit. But, I mean, what I'm hearing about TJ Sanders and what, you know, like, the way Joe Marino's talked about Deion Walker is these two might be better pass rushers than they are run-stoppers. And the Bills have small linebackers forever, and they always play nickel and all this investment in the secondary, which I'm not complaining about at all. I think it's the right way to do it. It doesn't perfectly line up right now with the way they're also building their offense, which is, again, like kind of the curiosity of it. And I know this is a very long time ago, but one thing I thought of when you just talked about McDermott and Bean, again, this has been 4 years since this comment, but Sean McDermott once did call wide receiver the Bills fastball. When they signed Emmanuel Sanders on March 18th of 2021, McDermott's exact quote was, "You never want to lose your fastball. We wanted to make sure we didn't lose it, the play at the wide receiver position." Again, that is 4 years ago. Yep. But
803-0550.
They had it in them at some point.
Kyle in South Florida. Hey, Kyle.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Kyle. How are you?
Hey, you guys accomplished something. Your boss has got to be happy. It's like the last day in April or second to last, and you've got packed phone lines in the slowest time of the NFL season. So congratulations there. I thought yesterday was great radio. And maybe, you know, I'm not going to pretend to be fake outraged because I hear a lot of people calling in. And I think you got a lot of fans who are misrepresenting your take. Which is you, I know I've heard you guys say this, and I've heard the afternoon guys say this too. You don't want robots. You want people to be like Bean was yesterday in your front office. And we finally get a real moment out of this guy. I'll be it. And as you said yesterday, I think you handled it well, Jeremy, that he missed maybe the broader point. But yesterday wasn't a culmination, or I should say yesterday wasn't about what he heard in your conversation with Sal. Yesterday was a culmination of a dude who thinks he's done really, really well, and he has. So for the idiots who keep calling in and says he haven't won anything yet, please stop. You're losing yourself. We were a joke of a franchise. Yes, we haven't won the Super Bowl yet. Noted. We've also rattled off five consecutive division titles. We put together a model franchise. So if I'm Bean and I'm feeling a little, you know, peeved because I'm getting questions. And then exactly what happened, I think, is he tuned in late and he's like, oh, more of this. And he lit up. And it's like, I get it, you know, Jeremy, from your point, the fantasy football thing is a little belittling. He took a little shot, right?
Yep.
I think there's that actually says more about your relationship with him and his ability, which you hear throughout that clip of him referencing you by your first name. You guys have a rapport, and you built a relationship to actually have that exchange. And how cool is that? So I thought it was like one of the – you know this. I call you guys a bunch. I love what you guys do. I thought it was one of the best exchanges we've had with the front office, this front office, ever. And I think it'll end up being something that's really cool. I would be shocked if down the road Brandon doesn't come back on. You guys don't have some fun with this. But for the love of God, for the pearl clutching and the dude who just said he said the B word and the person from freaking New Jersey who just said it's unbecoming of a professional. My God, have you ever worked in a passionate profession before? Please, the fake outrage from the fan base and is just exhausting. It was an awesome professional exchange of opinions when we had a general manager who has been very successful come in a little hot without context, probably take a position that was strong because he just got done with what he thought was a good draft. And the first thing he got asked by reporters was about what he didn't do, not what he did do. You didn't do that, Jeremy. But he caught that, and I think you realize that, and I just wish the rest of the – even the guys yesterday were offended. Like, Chauve and the Bulldog were, like, you know, talking about my friends that way. Come on, guys. Like, it was not that offensive of a conversation. It was awesome radio, and I just wish you had more time in that exchange to lay out for 45 minutes because I think it would have been riveting stuff. So kudos – you know, to you, to how you handled it, Jeremy, but I loved it, and I hope that's okay for me to say.
Absolutely.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, Kyle, thank you. I appreciate that. I did say, like, in the next segment, he can come on and yell at us every week if he wants. Like, we'll go. We'll do it. We're informed. Yeah. All we want is, you know, more answers, and if you want to tell us why you did a thing, then that's great. To the point about, you know, all the things he's won, I want to make a comparison, if I could.
Hmm.
Life with Josh Allen is so interesting, and I didn't know that having a franchise quarterback this good would be this way, but it's almost like everybody over there has to be careful in a way. This is not Josh's fault. This is just the reality. Josh has proven he can win without Diggs. Yeah. Josh will prove he can win without James Cook if they don't sign James Cook, right? And if you're the GM... I'm not saying like this is an active thought I have about they should move on from the GM because I don't. Could Josh win without Sean McDermott? What do we all think?
Yes.
Could Josh win without Brandon Bean?
Sure.
That's like this really sensitive piece. Allen is the key. Bean's the guy that pulled the card and drafted Allen, and he came in like dropping that on the table. Bam, here you go. Remember Josh Allen? I do. And the reason that's the most important card to play is because that's the constant, and it's always going to be the constant. And if Allen, whatever, if you laid out the names, McDermott and Bean are both going likely to leave before Allen, if they leave, ever.
Sure.
Allen is the one that everybody lines up behind. Allen is the one that everybody knows. He, as long as you have him, transition year, all your captains are gone, no Diggs, no Davis, injuries to the offensive line could happen this year. Not going to be an issue. They're going to go win. Oh, Baltimore comes in with Lamar and the MVP. Not going to matter. Josh is going to win. Josh is going to win that game. And it's just, to me, it's a little bit of a be careful, everybody down there, because you want to align yourself with him. But the moment you think it's you are the reason that they're winning, people will remind you, like, actually, it's that guy. It's Josh. You drafted him, but that's the guy that wins.
Yeah.
And for Bean, he has invested picks, Coleman, Kincaid, and right now, those two picks don't look like they're doing enough for Josh Allen. As soon as they look like they're doing enough for Josh Allen, hey, Bean has built this incredible offense, and look at the picks that are contributing in a big way. It's kind of, we've talked about this too, the side effect of everybody eats is that no one gets the production to look like they're worth what you invested.
Mm.
Whereas if we kind of ditched that and the offense ran through Kincaid and Coleman, we'd say like, wow, look at these studs that Bean drafted.
All right.
So there's always this like this, whatever, it's not quite politics, but Allen is the key to everything. He's the reason they have a good culture. He's the reason they have they're a model franchise. Is he a reason they're building a stadium?
Oh, man.
You get that franchise quarterback.
It's definitely an influence.
Your franchise value goes up, what, $1 billion?
Mm-hmm. Right. Why is Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady wanting to buy, and Josie Altidore wanting to buy part of the team? Yeah. I got caught in between, too, yesterday because there was a little bit of, well, right, he's won so much, and a little bit of, you know, puffing your chest out because, right, look how different it is. Look how much better it is. Look how much more they win. Five straight division titles, all this winning. One part of me completely understands that and empathizes with it. There is another part of me, though, that also thinks, yeah, but you haven't won it. Don't walk around acting like you're the you're not the Patriots. Not yet.
Right.
You shouldn't really get to carry yourself like you've won three Super Bowls. You know? It isn't that. I mean, when we were at our draft party on Thursday, was this the Thursday party or the Friday draft party? I think it was Thursday. And the draft is on the screen and the Bills are up on the clock. And ESPN puts a graphic up that says
78
Buffalo
wins.
Bills, 78 wins, in the most wins in the history of the NFL without that amount of time without making the Super Bowl. That stat got put up on the screen. The most wins ever in that amount of time without making it to a Super Bowl. And what did everybody in the room do?
Groaned.
They groaned and booed it. Yeah. That's not to say that people are unhappy with the last 5-6 years, but it's the job that, you know, you haven't accomplished it yet. You haven't done it yet.
I like to make my comparisons. Aren't they, to a point, Rory McIlroy? They're one of the best.
They're Rory without the winning at the
Well, there are other majors, but the Masters is the one.
The Masters, yes.
You're Rory. Yeah. Look at all these things I've done. I'm amazing. Yeah, but you got to win that one. And that was one of the things when Rory won the Masters, reading about that, we came in the next day, and I told you, I'm thinking about the Bills. I'm thinking about Josh Allen and the Bills. Because everyone knows you're good enough, but you haven't done the thing yet. And until you do that thing, the pressure of being good enough to win it is added. This isn't, hey, maybe Caleb Williams will bring the Bears to prominence. This is, everybody agrees this team's good enough to do it. Everybody.
Yeah.
How come they haven't done it? And that's a different kind of level of pressure. Brian in Richmond. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Brian.
So the crux of the problem from yesterday, I think, has to do with a couple of things. One is presumed knowledge by both parties there, and also the cost of being good. And what I mean by that is when being called in, he kind of laid open on you guys because he just assumed that you are dumb sports jocks who don't look at all the data and do analysis, and you guys do a lot of that, to your credit. And he just presumed you guys didn't know much about what you were talking about, and his comportment was not good with you all. But the presumed knowledge on your end is that, and you said this a couple times, Jeremy, after his call and then when you were on Buffalo Plus last night, that wide receiver takes a back seat with Bean, and you don't know that either. You're not in the draft room when they're sitting there and they're deciding, and they've got a wide receiver right next to a defensive tackle, and they go, no, I don't like wide receiver. I'll take defensive tackle. And I think part of the problem also is the cost of being good. One of the reasons we don't have that wide receiver is because we're good. And when you're good, you're not drafting low. It's not like Bean is passed on all these great receivers that, hey, look at all these great receivers we keep passing on. So that's just what I want to call in on. And I'd just like your feedback on that.
Thanks, Brian. No, you're not wrong. Like, I don't know that, which is why I specifically said I'm going to ask him that. I knew on Wednesday the week before we were going to get the GM on Monday. And I'm like, all right, let's see this draft. I'll see how it goes. And like, all right, one of the things I want to ask is, I don't know the answer to this question. I'm going to ask him.
Yep.
And he can give whatever answer he wants, and, you know, we can pick it apart like we pick apart everything. So, thanks, Brian. You're exactly right. I don't contend that I know what their board looks like. It's actually one of the things I'd like to point out, that nobody knows what anybody's board looks like, and we don't have to listen to any NFL team for what they tell us after the draft because, you know, they could just tell us what they want. We kind of have to believe it. But that's why I wanted to ask. That was the whole genesis for, I'm going to ask him this question. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Some interesting notes on Shedeur Sanders – and his fall, how owners had taken him off their board. We'll get to that, get to more of your phone calls, and have the top 10 jersey sales from the draft, the trivia question form.
Yeah.
So we got lots, and we got time for you. If you're on hold, Silas Mark, give us a ring, 803-0550. If you were trying to get through before, we have an open line now, 1-888-550-2550 on the Bills. And more on Elijah Moore as we go, too, because I do think that's a good idea.